I was late because I was coming from work. And so as I got off the elevator, I right away saw this big room that was as you get out the elevator, there's a glass wall. So you could see into this room where people were sitting, looking into the corner and listening to this testimony. And I came around and went to the back.
At the age of 19, I thought I'd get married. Oh boy, that was a mistake. Violent and abused for years, I was trapped. I was too poor to leave, I had nowhere to go.
The sound filled the room because of it coming through the loudspeaker system. So it was one person quietly telling her story. It enveloped you. It was huge. As I looked around, you could see people sometimes with their head down, just listening.
All these years of domestic violence left me permanent injuries.
Irene was a very small woman. I don't know if she was maybe 50 or 60 years old, and her body was weathered, was worn. If you saw her on the street, you'd think that this was a person who had been through a lot.
To this day, migraine headaches, blows to the head, broken eardrum. I suffer from back and hip injuries. I just had a knee replacement done a year ago on Thanksgiving. Now I have a herniated disc that's going to come out. Real cute. And then I suffer from traumatic stress syndrome.
As she told the story, it was very, you know, she had all these hardships, but she still had this sense about her of kind of like, I'm going on, I'm not letting this get me down.
You know, when you lose four children, it's hard to live, but I lived through it. I just wouldn't want to see anyone go through this or anything else because I don't think it should happen to anybody. Thank you.
Well, after I got situated and heard this story and then realized here's another story and then another story, is very depressing. My initial reaction, if I'm honest, is that, well, you know, they made a bad choice in their life. These are real people standing in front of you, and you got to the point where you said, they didn't do anything wrong. Another person that spoke was Charles, and he was like barrel-chested, formidable, but with a very gentle, actually a very gentle demeanor.
Each night, I go into the Oxford Street shelter. I sleep on a mat that is 6 feet long, 3 feet wide, 4.5 inches thick. On to the left of me is 4 inches, and to the right of me is 4 inches, and after that is a mat. 154 people every single night stay at the Oxford Street shelter, men and women. Staying there, I tried going over to where I am now. I volunteer at the Purple Street Resource Center as a consumer advocate at the Consumer Advocacy Project. There, I went through Purple Street and they got myself a case manager. Got myself a job case manager and started looking for work. When you put down on the news on an application that your latest place to receive mail is either P.O. Box 1459, Portland, Maine, or if you have 5 Portland Street as an address, people automatically know that you are A, poor, or B, homeless, and they don't want to hire you. So I ended up lying to say where I lived. Went into a place and got a job. Worked there 4.5 months. Till somebody found out that I was homeless, then they made my life unbearable and they terminated me. So here I am, still homeless, only making about $7.75 an hour, and even at that point, at $7.75 an hour, cost of rents here in Portland is $650 to $700 a month. You do the math. So at that point, I become very, very depressed. I've been depressed for a long time, trying to set it out. I'm going to counseling. I need my counseling. It sucks. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be here. I don't want to be homeless. I didn't ask for it. And here I stand. I worked my ass off from fingers to the bone. And you ask for help, and people look at you. You go to general assistance, people look at you like you're lower than dirt. You go to DHHS, and it's like, pride. Sorry. I'm sick, and I'm tired, and I'm tired, and I'm sick of being this way. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. So how do you make a difference? How do you change it? Doing what I'm doing, volunteering with the Consumer Advocacy Project, going to the state and telling them what's wrong with our system, coming here to places like this and talking about this stuff and making a difference. This is what's gonna make the difference. Raising our voices higher than the heavens and letting them know that no, this isn't acceptable. This is not right.
More times than not, the audience was silent. They didn't clap. And then that person would leave the podium, and then another person would get out of their seat and come up to the podium, introduce themselves, and then start to tell their story. I was trying to imagine being one of those commissioners hearing this testimony of real people telling their stories and thinking that they were, I've been on a jury, like how it is when you are listening to testimony and you have to be taking all the facts and try to, you know, you're going to be making a judgment. The testimony ended after about 10 different stories, and the commissioners broke off into small groups and deliberated. And then they all got together, and they came back and presented their findings. And yeah, they thought that this was a crime. Basically, the commissioners kept saying that this is not right. We're going to take this to the state legislature, and this is not right. What's happening with poor people?